This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I wonder if she's still singing. Is she still going around the country singing? She's got to be about 80 years old at this point. Ed's nodding his head as in.
I believe so.
Okay, good. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed, thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday, December the 8th. Wow. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Wen Fa of the Pacific Legal Foundation, and we're going to talk about the practice of set-asides. Set-asides, you know, to give financial help to certain businesses. He's going to tell us why they're unconstitutional, especially right now in the virus. Is that a good idea? We'll talk about all of that. And while President Trump signs an executive order to get, basically to guarantee Americans first access to the vaccine from the government, a British woman actually gets the first dose. Let's see if she survives it, right? Meanwhile, there may be some flickering hope for Trump in Pennsylvania. We are going to talk about it with the proprietor of the Barber Poll later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie, the top 10 smartest animals in the world. Smartest animals in the world. Let's see if Ed knows what the smartest one is. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut for my money in Tampa Bay. You got to call first, you guys, 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And don't forget, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Good Morning Clearwater with Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day. Latest in news and entertainment, some sports. They're also great at creating posters, flyers, banners, all kinds of things. They're very artistic. I think Tracy more than Paul, but I think they're both somewhat artistic. Anyway, you want any of that, call them at 727-330-3212. Well, we got, as always, a lot of craziness going on in Washington. There's a British woman, a retired shop clerk. She got the first shot. Did you hear about that, Ed? She's 81. No, she's 91 years old. Wow. You know, it's interesting. They gave it to her. She got it on what public health officials have called V-Day. I guess it's for Vaccine Day in Britain. So Britain is the first one to come out with the vaccine. It's from Pfizer, by the way, that she got it. Guess who the second guy was? William Shakespeare. Not the original, but an 81-year-old guy from Warwickshire, which is the county where the bard was born. That's kind of interesting. I wonder if the guy was related to him. So the UK is the first Western country to start a mass vaccination program. I guess we can kind of watch and see how things go with the vaccine, right? Then we'll get it. And by the way, Donald Trump is expected today to sign an executive order that will ensure all Americans get access to the virus vaccine before our government starts sending it to other places. We get it first. I guess that makes sense, right? I would think so. And senior officials are saying that the president's going to reemphasize that this is a priority, as in an America first approach. So the news on this comes just a few days ahead of the FDA's meeting. By the way, it's going to be on Thursday, regarding Pfizer and BioNTech's application for emergency authorization of their vaccine. I wonder why Britain was able to get it out sooner than us. Maybe they have less bureaucratic regulations. We need to get that thing out as soon as possible. I just have visions of the FDA guys sitting around. You know, they take their time, and I'm thinking, you know, every moment that you take, we could get it out there. Let's speed this whole thing up. In the meantime, speaking about the virus, and my God, that's all we've been talking about. What? Seems like forever to me now. It's just like it's looming in our background. Despite renewed momentum in Washington to pass a relief bill regarding the virus, a bipartisan proposal has run into some obstacles. Here we go again. The biggest sticking point, Republicans maintain that you need to have a liability shield for businesses so that if somebody goes in there and gets the virus, they can't go and sue the business. I think that makes good sense. Otherwise, every business is going to make you sign a waiver at the door before you come in saying, look, if you get the virus, you can't come back and sue me, or you can't come in here. That's kind of crazy. So the Republicans want this liability shield for businesses, and the Democrats are totally against it. At the same time, Democrats want billions in new funding for state and local governments, and the Republicans say, no, this bill is supposed to be for the virus. Leave that stuff for something else. So unless the compromise comes up, this deal, which, by the way, is about $900 billion, could fall apart. And by the way, Bernie Sanders admits, and I think that Nancy Pelosi basically admits, they held up signing this coronavirus relief package because they thought that Trump might be around. Now they're saying that now they're going to go ahead and sign something because Bernie Sanders will, I mean, not Bernie, but Joe Biden will be president. Here's Sanders. He said he criticized Democrats for getting behind a smaller package after rejecting the one for $1.8 trillion because President Trump was president. He admitted. He said, that's right. That's what I'm saying, that it was because Trump was president. That's kind of, you know? And then Nancy Pelosi makes some stupid comment to reporters about the fact that now that Biden is in, they can trust him so that they can have further packages later. So that's why she'll agree to it now. So come on, politics, when businesses and people need the money. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about that a little later in the show. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Wen Fa from the Pacific Legal Foundation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Goodness gracious, big balls of fire!
Tune in
to Oldies Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Oldies Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday and delighted to have back Wen Fa. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we're going to talk about set-asides. And this is the idea of helping certain businesses, government help, specifically, I guess, small businesses, to get taxpayer-funded loans. The problem is in the way that they make selections. Wen, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks again for having me.
It's our pleasure. So these set-asides, and I guess we're going to concentrate a little bit on New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo has awarded millions of dollars to certain businesses through what's called the New York Forward Loan Fund. But it turns out that what they might be doing is unconstitutional. Please explain that, if you could.
Yes, yeah, certainly. So New York has a program. It's actually quite similar to programs that many other states have enacted this year in light of the coronavirus pandemic. And what those programs do is they give loans to student businesses, to small businesses. But the problem is they distribute those loans on the basis of race so that companies who are designated as minority-owned businesses, for example, get preferential treatment, and sometimes they are the only ones that can receive these loans. And we think that's wrong. The Constitution of the United States prohibits the government from discriminating on the basis of race, and that is just as true when you're talking about small business loans as when you're talking about discrimination on the basis of race in education. And, you know, it's fine for the government to be helping small business in time of need, but distribution should not be made on the basis of race.
No, it shouldn't be. And it should be, I would think, if there was a way to determine it, based on the condition of need. If a business is able to show cause, basically, I guess it's not easy to do, but certainly, and you mentioned in this piece, by the way, that it's not just emergency loan programs. Racial discrimination is a primary consideration for things like building state roads and highways and bridges. I mean, why can't we not get past this whole thing about race when it comes to things like this? It's just, once you start going down that slippery slope, you know, it's always, I mean, we've seen that with turning away certain groups of people from colleges. They have higher scores, and because they're not the right racial mixture or whatever, they're discriminated against. It seems like it's doing this here, too.
That's right, and I think programs like the loan program, they're based off of previous programs in construction that discriminate against contractors who are not designated as minority-owned businesses. We have laws in several states, as well as federal laws, that grant preferential treatment for minority-owned subcontractors and minority-owned contractors. And that's just not right. You know, I think there are a lot of contractors who have worked hard and want to succeed based on merit. And what the government should be doing is it should be eliminating the barriers that it's imposed that get in the way of small businesses who want to take on larger contracts and who have the ability to take on these larger contracts. But they should not be setting aside contracting dollars to contractors designated as minority-owned businesses, because doing so is unconstitutional under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Indeed. We're talking with Wen Fa. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we're talking about, I guess you could call it racial set-asides. Now, when the Supreme Court made a decision, I guess the city of Richmond versus J.A. Croson Company, it was a landmark decision. How did that, I mean, can this be stopped? You know, things like Cuomo's ideas about racial set-asides, can it be stopped? Go ahead.
It absolutely can. The Supreme Court, as you mentioned, in the city of Richmond versus J.A. Croson, actually struck down one of these programs in Virginia. But since then, governments have found ways to evade these the Supreme Court's commands by conducting oftentimes disparity studies that are not grounded in actual math and science, but disparity studies grounded on their desire to continue having these minority-owned business programs that discriminate on the basis of race. But we think there is strong Supreme Court precedent saying that these programs are often unconstitutional. And in fact, Pacific Legal Foundation, the organization that I work for, is a nonprofit legal organization that represents clients free of charge to defend their constitutional rights in courts around the United States, including 12 wins in the Supreme Court of the United States. So we think that these programs are unconstitutional, and we hope that the Supreme Court will take one of these cases to vindicate the fundamental principle of equality before the law.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if there was any pending cases. Are there any businesses? I suspect that you would need to have a business that would be, let's say, would be deprived of this to go to the court. You got to have somebody.
That's absolutely right. So in contracting, there are general contractors and there are subcontractors. The general, and I think both could be affected by these minority business enterprise programs, and both are affected by these minority business enterprise programs. As far as general contractors are concerned, they usually have to comply with these set-aside requirements or demonstrate good faith efforts to do so. But the problem is these good faith efforts that city government and state government specifies are usually so vague that, you know, the general contractors don't know if they're going to be on the hook for, you know, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars for even though there are not enough willing and able minority contractors that might be available for a particular project. For some contractors, I think it might, in some instances, affect them even more because general contractors will necessarily prefer, in some instances, minority business enterprises to meet these set-asides. Mm-hmm. So if you're a subcontractor that's not a minority business enterprise, you might have the best bid for a job. But you won't be picked based on the color of your skin, and that's completely wrong, and that runs counter to the fundamental notion of equality before the law.
Right, and it's ripe for being able to take advantage of fraud. I mean, people will set up minority people, you know, put them in the position, and then apply for the loan, or women, you know, when it's truly somebody else running things. I mean, it's just ripe for, you know, you go down this idea of trying to do set-asides or any kind of affirmative action program. I mean, every time I hear the word affirmative action, I cringe because it means that somebody else is being left out.
That's absolutely right. And I think, like you said, there have been many examples of fraud in the construction industry targeted at evading these requirements or taking advantage of these requirements. you have the pass-throughs, which is, as you say, companies, construction companies that are actually owned not by minority contractors, but they're nominally owned by a minority contractor just so that they can get the benefit. Sometimes you have a minority-owned business enterprise that wins the bid at a higher price and then gives that same contract to another non-minority-owned business, and you know that business is able to keep the profit while not doing any of the work. Look, you know, I think there are plenty of ways to help all small businesses, including a lot of minority-owned businesses. You have a lot of you have a lot of anti-competitive regulations, I'm sure, in contracting, just as you do in other places that prevent entrepreneurs that stop entrepreneurs from earning a living. But the solution is to get rid of those barriers. The solution isn't to impose additional burdensome minority business enterprise requirements on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So did Cuomo in New York, the governor, did he create this program after the virus started and because of the virus? Or was this program going on before? Or did they like modify it or tailor it towards the virus environment or what?
So I believe the loan program for small businesses, the changes to those were initiated after the virus. But the minority business set-aside programs, that has been going on for a few years now. And in fact, I think in New York, there are going to be even more burdensome requirements for contractors. For example, I think the government is instituting a bid preference for general contractors in New York. So if you're a non-minority-owned business, you can have the lowest bid, but you might still not get the contract if there's another bid that's higher from a minority-owned business enterprise.
Right.
And I think that just shows how discriminatory some of these laws are.
Oh, sure. You know, New York is having trouble enough keeping businesses. We were talking yesterday on the show about how businesses, many of them are leaving, or parts of them are leaving, because of all the regulations and the taxes. You know, and just throwing these things out. Are there any other states, Wen, that are practicing the same kind of affirmative action with businesses like this?
Yes, yeah, certainly. There are many other, besides New York, I think there are a lot of municipalities that are using these MBE requirements. I think Chicago has a particularly onerous one. Houston also has one in which they've, you know, threatened contractors who have not met these minority business enterprise programs. You had a Shelby County out in Tennessee, which covers the city of Memphis, actually got sued for having one of these programs. And after they failed to turn over the data that they purported justify these programs, they had to end up settling the case for, I believe it was over $330,000 for the Contractors Association. So these programs are, I think, in many cases illegal and unconstitutional. And, you know, I think we want people to stand up for their constitutional rights to equal treatment before the law.
Yeah. So is PLF getting involved in some of these specific cases, or are you planning on it?
You know, we are certainly very interested in these cases. We've written a lot about it. You saw the City Journal article. We have articles in the Washington Examiner and other places in which we've talked about the rampant discrimination against contractors in the field of contracting. We are certainly very interested in these types of cases. And, you know, we think that the time is right for the Supreme Court to look at these cases and to vindicate the contractor's right to equal treatment before the law.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, as always, PLF is a nonprofit, and people who are affected by these laws can find out more information and contact us on our website at pacificlegal.org.
Pacificlegal.org. And finally, do you think that there will be a case coming fairly soon, perhaps, on this issue to the Supreme Court? I would suspect that with the makeup of the court right now, I don't know if the word pro-business is the right term, but I think they might consider turning something like this away.
I think there certainly is a good chance for a case like this to be at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has shown a lot of interest in the last decade or so that deal with racial preferences in the field of education. And you see that coming up soon with a case out of Harvard dealing with discrimination against Asian Americans. What has been, I think, under-recognized and cases that haven't really been talked about at the Supreme Court level are cases dealing with discrimination and contracting. But I think, you know, when you look at it, it's just as important and perhaps an even more important issue when you talk about racial discrimination that affects the right of millions of Americans and their right to earn a living and their
absolutely.
Right to equal treatment before the law. So I think this case will come up to the Supreme Court fairly soon.
Indeed. Well, Wen, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I thank you so very much. Very important topic, and I know we'll be talking again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Wen Faugh, Pacific Legal Foundation. We are going to take our break. When we come back, President Trump signing an executive order to guarantee Americans first access to the vaccine. All kinds of things going on. Maybe there's hope for Trump in Pennsylvania. And that election, we're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, we come to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network, and you can listen to us on podcast. Our shows are so great, you may want to listen to them again. Or if you missed them, Big Ed sets up all our shows. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and look at the top, word podcast, click on it. There you go, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, Ted Cruz, I guess he was on Fox and Friends this morning. No, last night he was on Hannity, all right, on the Fox News channel. And he said and agreed to present oral arguments before the Supreme Court in this situation in Pennsylvania. Now, it looks like Pennsylvania may have violated its own constitution by changing the rules of voting. You had to go to the people themselves and get it on the constitution before you could change it. That's what the argument would be. And if that indeed holds up and they get to the Supreme Court, it may nullify all of the mail-in votes. So we've brought the proprietor of the Barber poll, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, I know you keep hoping and praying, as a lot of people do, that somehow Trump can figure out a way to get and hold on to the office. What do you think about this latest situation in Pennsylvania?
Well, I was thinking about that. I heard Ted Cruz last night. I heard Mark Levine talk about that, right. I believe, a week or two ago, too.
Yeah, he talked about it recently again.
And, you know, I sit there and laugh because they recount and recount the votes with the illegal votes. Of course they get the same results. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have got to prove with these machines. I guess they've got custody of a few of them. Now, if they can prove that these machines are switched votes, it's a cut and dry case right there. Okay, along with the legalities of how they come up with their laws for all these votes. I mean, they got cases, Paul. I mean, how many witnesses do they have with sworn affidavits for perjury? I mean, how can they say that there's no proof of anything? When Adam Schiff had one whistleblower, the whole world heard about it.
I know. And the media, of course, they want to, you know, it's the old thing about disregard the man behind the curtain, you know. Just come look at the front here with all the lights and bells and whistles and noise.
And now, but now you saw where Texas is suing Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia for the discrepancy. They said there's too much fraud going on in theirs, and Georgia is suing those states, and it's going to go right to the Supreme Court.
How can a state sue another state for what's going
on?
I don't think they can do that. I wanted to find out
about that, too. Yes, they can do it, because if they're saying there's fraud in this election, that's going against what their people voted for. Paul, this is a mess.
Yeah, well, I think it is a mess. And I think mainly because they allowed mail-in voting to kind of start with this election.
That's right.
They should have been practicing this thing like Florida had for a long time so they could get it right. But to throw it out like this, as many states did,
many states did it. You got to realize the judges that were involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from what I read, 95% of them are Obama appointees.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's double standards
all over. It's got to go to the Supreme Court, Paul.
Well, I think it will. I think there are some of these things that will get to the Supreme Court. I think that Mark Levin, like you said, and Mark Levin, by the way, was, a former attorney. He does a show, a weekly show on Fox, and he gets some great guests. He'll do one-on-one for an hour with somebody and really, you know, get in-depth with them. But he spent one of his programs recently talking about the unconstitutional nature of changing the rules in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And he made a good case.
There's no question about it. If it goes to the Supreme Court, it's like he says, they've got to agree.
Yeah, and so what do you do? I mean, how do you sort the mail-ins and the, you know, and the ballots that had something that came in because of the new rule from the ones that had nothing to do with it? So I don't think you can do it. You would have to basically, you would have to almost, like, in my opinion, you would have to have a new vote in Pennsylvania.
That's right. Well, and you know what? It might come down to that.
Yeah.
With paper ballots. With a receipt.
I know.
Of your vote.
What a mess.
Okay, it's a mess, Paul, and I can't see how anybody can conclude this election was fair. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And you should want to know that your elections are fair. But apparently, as long as you want it, don't matter how you get there, you know?
Here's the thing that scares me, that people will be unsatisfied that you know, no matter what goes on now, no matter what, people will say, this is a fraudulent situation.
That's
right?
Why you should just have the election over completely.
Well, and you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, how do you do that, right?
How do you do it?
What's so hard about it?
You
throw out every vote that was
the whole thing. The election was null and void. Mm-hmm. See you later. We're having a new one.
Well, that would be something.
That would be the one way to handle everything, yeah. And everybody couldn't say anything.
Well,
Paul,
you're right about that. We're talking with the master barber, the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Mainstream America's most important poll.
And you know what? That's what everybody says. Everybody I'm talking to. We just should have another election.
I'm just trying to envision how that would work. I mean, the devil is in the details, right? How would you get that to work? How would
you get
50
work?
States to start all over again,
It's no big deal. They could pull this together in a week.
Why don't we just go for the states that were close and forget about the other ones? In other words, when there was a blowout one way or the other. Well, I guess you couldn't do that either, because then people would say, well, what's a blowout and what's not a blowout?
That's what I'm saying. The only fair way to do it is to have a re-election.
Okay. Hey, I want to ask you on another topic, which I found to be very interesting. A Republican by the name of Ken Buck yesterday has urged Attorney General William Barr to open or appoint a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden.
And what happened to Hunter?
I know, and his laptop. I think he's hiding on that island in the Bahamas.
Well, he's been hiding from day one. And
yeah.
You know what? Because of this whole election, look at how that's all covered up. You haven't heard nothing.
Nothing about it. So Buck, he is, as I say, a Republican. He sent a letter to the Attorney General. He's urging him to, quote, appoint a special counsel to investigate Mr. Hunter Biden's conduct and the contents of his laptop that is currently in the FBI's possession. Now, the FBI's got the laptop. I wonder, what's going on with all of that?
Because Bill Barr is involved.
Yeah, I know you have thought.
There's nothing going to go on. Listen, there's pictures all over with Barr and Biden on the computer from years and years ago, Paul. Shows you how deep the deep state is.
Well, I mean, Biden's been around since the dawn of history and politics.
Right. How long has Bill Barr been around?
Yeah, but you know that there are going to be photos.
I'm saying the state is deep. You know, you work with somebody for 30 years. You're going to go against them?
Yeah.
Think about it, Paul. Ahead, buddy.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean,
I live in the real world, Paul.
Okay. So, here is what I just wanted to go on about what this letter says Ken Buck. He says, this investigation is critical to defending the integrity of our republic and ensuring a potential Biden administration will not be the subject of undue foreign interference. He said, Americans have the right to know whether Biden's reported ties to foreign governments will make him the subject of blackmail attempts or other nefarious efforts to undermine U.S. national security. I would think if he's been taking payouts funded, say, from either China or maybe the Ukraine or even Russia, it would compromise him. I mean, this is something I think that should be checked. And if there's nothing there, we will be happy to know that. And we can breathe a sigh of relief. But if there's something going on, doesn't the public have a right to know this?
Paul, listen. There's no fraud in the election. Hunter Biden never did anything. Hillary Clinton is as sweet as pie. You know, those phones that she smashed, it was a figment of our imagination. Yeah, come on.
I know.
The only one trying to make the truth come out everywhere is Trump.
Yeah.
Trump is not fighting Biden. He's fighting globalism, Paul.
Let me ask you a completely different question, and that is 2024. Do you think Governor Ron DeSantis would be a possible presidential candidate?
If his mother don't kill him first.
His mother? Does his mother make
you
his...
You don't want him to have no part of it, Paul.
You don't want him to have a part of the presidency?
You don't want him to be no part of the presidency.
Really?
But I think he's going to go, afraid of everything.
He's afraid?
No, she is. The mother.
Oh, the mother's afraid.
Oh, yes. She said, please.
Is she like Lady Macbeth in Shakespeare? Does she run everything?
She's kind of the queen of the mansion, but the son's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Ron's a very strong-willed guy.
Oh, yeah. So, overall, I would think that people are pretty comfortable with the way Ron DeSantis has handled both the virus and the way things are going in Florida. You know, it seems like our state, I mean, we've got the virus situation, but aren't we overall doing a hell of a lot better than a lot of these other states?
We're probably doing the best in the country, Paul.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, Well, we have the COVID virus, but I think the flu is gone because I haven't heard nothing about our seasonal flu. So yeah. I think that's gone, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you read about or did you hear us talk about this British, this 91-year-old British woman? She's the first one to get the vaccine.
Well, we're going to see if it makes her go back to when she was 20 years old. It might reverse everything. Let's see what happens. It's like I tell everybody, I'm not buying a new Corvette for years, and I'm not trying that shot either.
Wouldn't it be funny if the virus vaccine actually did create a fountain of youth?
Look what happened with Viagra. I mean, that was supposed to be a blood pressure.
Yeah, you're right. It was.
It created miracles.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I got to laugh on that one.
Yes, indeed. I'll tell you one thing. If the vaccine does have that secondary effect, there are going to be a hell of a lot more people that are going to take it that say right now they're not going to take it.
No longer is the regular flu not around, but nobody's dying of natural causes anymore either.
Nothing. Those are all gone. Even if you get in a car accident, you had COVID. And no, look at, he died of COVID.
What
even though their head's off in the car.
What happened to the good old-fashioned heart attack? It's all COVID. Those were the good days.
Yeah, the good old days. The good old days when a stroke would do you in. Oh, my goodness.
If we start seeing that 91-year-old lady doing marathons, we know what's happening.
When she's doing backflips and somersaults and half gainers, we're gonna say, you know what? I want some of that stuff.
We're gonna find out.
We are indeed. It is always a pleasure, Andrew, to talk with you, my friend. And this thing is still going on. I mean, we'll see where all of this goes with the election, but let's just keep our hopes up.
My hopes are up there, Paul.
I know they are.
This goes to the Supreme Court. I think there's a case. Come on.
Okay.
Like I said, there's witnesses all over. There's all kinds of proof.
Indeed. Well, we will be talking again on Friday, my friend. And in the meantime, may the Trump be with you.
You got it, buddy. Stop by anytime.
I will. In fact, I may come by.
Stop by. Say hello after the show.
May do that, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right, Paul.
Okay.
To you later.
There he goes. There he goes. The one that has the barber pole tightly in his little paws. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 smartest animals in the world.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on this December the 8th. Hey, 17 days away. Wow. Have you done any Christmas shopping? I have not done any yet. It seems like women do it first, you know. I guess it's partly in the genes. They like to shop, at least a lot more than men typically. Anyway, President-elect Joe Biden will nominate a retired four-star Army general to become the his Secretary of Defense. His name is Lloyd Austin. He is an African-American. He would be the first black leader of the Pentagon if he was confirmed. He was selected by Biden, apparently, over a woman candidate, Michelle Flourney, who was a former senior Pentagon official and a Biden supporter. And she would have been the first woman to serve as defense secretary. Now, Austin, the guy that is going to be nominated, 67, likely to face opposition from some people in Congress and in the Pentagon, who believe in drawing a clear line between civilian and military leadership. This guy is technically now a civilian, but he had been, of course, for many years, military. Although many previous defense secretaries have served briefly in the military, only two of them, George Marshall and James Mattis, had been career officers. So we'll see where all of that goes. There's still a disputed election coming on, so there you go. I also wanted to mention the passing of a guy that perhaps should have been in the Hall of Fame in baseball, Richie Allen. He was 78 years old, and he played for two teams in particular, the Philadelphia Phillies and then the Chicago White Sox. He became MVP while he was with the White Sox in 1972. He was a ferocious hitter, great upper body strength, but he was an African-American, and he played back in the 60s and 70s during a time of particularly in the 60s, where there was still a lot of racial discrimination going on. He was a very sensitive guy, and a lot of people suggest that because of his maybe standoffishness or attitude, that was one of the reasons he never was selected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. But he was a great hitter. I remember when he played for the White Sox, I was always... I would stop and watch when he came up to bat. He could send it to another county if he hit it right. And so we just wanted to mention his passing at the age of 78. So, Ed, I want to bring you in here just before we get to our top 10. I'm wondering, are there any issues going on right now in the world of football as far as standing or kneeling or any of those issues? I haven't noticed. I guess they're not playing the national anthem anyway because there's nobody in the stands.
Right.
So that issue has kind of gone by the wayside maybe?
No, they've been playing the national anthem. They just haven't been showing the players.
Is that right? They still play the national anthem before a game.
Which is exactly what they should have done to begin with.
Yeah.
You know? But they're not. They're not showing the national anthem, really.
I haven't seen it, but you say they are playing it at the stadium?
It's being played before every game, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Before every game, yeah.
Is that like an NFL requirement or anything like that?
No, I think it's just tradition, to tell you the truth.
Got it. By the way, we talk about this more on Friday, but who are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing next Sunday? Do you know?
Minnesota.
Ah.
Here.
Okay. And we got to kind of get back on our feet again, don't we?
Yeah.
A little bit.
You had the week off, yeah, hopefully.
My beloved Chicago Bears are probably going to lose their coach and their general manager. Have you noticed how badly they're playing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the way it goes. Okay, Ed, time for the top 10 smartest animals in the world. This is from howstuffworks.com. I wonder how they actually can come up with a top 10 on this. You can't ask the animal, right? So, yeah, I guess you just have to guess to some extent. But here we go. Number 10. The rat. They're
really
intelligent. Yeah, that's why they're used in laboratory experiments. The lab rat has been known to find shortcuts, loopholes, and escape routes in the lab experiments designed by the top scientific minds. The rat has successfully colonized every continent on Earth except Antarctica.
And they're pretty much blind, aren't they? That's why they run along the walls?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they are. Hmm. I know that there were three blind mice. I never heard about three blind rats.
I believe that's why they run along the walls.
Oh, okay. Very good. Number nine. Wait till you hear this one. The octopus. The octopus. Would you ever think it was smart?
No.
They play, solve problems, navigate through mazes, and have a respectable short-term memory. How the hell does anybody know that? How do they know that? Number eight. The pigeon. Pigeon's smart. They let people feed them.
Right.
Pigeons can recognize hundreds of images even after several years have passed. Remember the thing, passenger pigeons?
Mm-hmm.
They would send passenger pigeons because they would remember where their home was. They would tie notes on the
legs. They delivered notes, and then they got moved over by email.
They can also identify themselves in the mirror. Isn't that something? Okay.
So they're one of the birds that would not fly into the mirror and kill themselves.
No.
Okay.
They can see that it's a mirror, apparently. Number seven. Squirrels. Squirrels. Mm-hmm. These clever creatures are essentially woodland animals. They have adapted to living alongside humans, eating out of bird feeders, flower gardens, and whatever food might be lying around. Okay. Number six. Now, I've heard this one before. The pig is very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Pig. Both domestic and wild pigs, known for their ability to adapt to a variety of different ecological conditions, and they can become pets also. Number five, a crow. I had a friend that had a crow for a pet. Crows living in urban areas known to gather nuts from trees and then place them in the street for passing cars to crack open.
Hmm.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Number four, the elephant.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've seen them in circuses. Yeah. They do all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. They walk around and they stand on their two hind legs. They've been known to clean their food and use tools in various ways in the wild. And they can also follow human commands. All right, number three, the orangutan. They have a strong culture and system of communication. Many have been observed using tools in the wild. They form strong social bonds. All right. Number two, the dolphin. Now, I've heard that one, right?
Yeah.
Dolphins. They have large heads and fairly large brains. They're smarter than almost any other creature on the planet.
Hmm.
Extremely social. They form schools, right? And they do racing, leaping, spinning, whistling. They can even kind of talk.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ed. What is the smartest animal in the world?
I guess the dog, I don't know.
You say the dog.
But there's so many breeds.
Have you ever heard of the human being?
Oh, okay.
No, it's not that.
Okay.
I'll give you one more guess.
All right.
You want to guess any other animal? No.
I don't.
You don't want to guess. Okay. The chimpanzee.
Oh, okay.
They can make and use tools, hunt collectively, capable of advanced problem solving. They can learn sign language. Wow, that's pretty good.
Mm.
Well, anyway, there you go. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Friday. Always remember, the freedom works